Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Well, guys, Megan is on vacation this week, so we couldn't leave you hanging without a special guest co-host. So please help me welcome Mercedes Javid from Shaws of Sunset. MJ, what's up?
Woo! I'm so excited to be here and kiki with you
yes.
about all things.
I know. So this is at least your maybe fourth time on the podcast, second time guest co-hosting. So I'm super excited to have you back. We have a jam-packed episode because we have to talk about Shaws of Sunset, obviously. That's why we have you here. Real Housewives of New York City. Beverly Hills is back. New Jersey reunion part two. I mean, this is just like the peak time for Bravo.
The peak time. It's such a good time because now you really don't need a social life. You don't need to have friends. You don't need to leave the house. I know that the world is opening back up again, but I'm ready to lock down and just watch Bravo every night of the week as soon as my son goes down to sleep.
Right. And this is the time that like every single night has something. So you really don't have to leave the house.
I'm so proud of our Bravo fam right now. They are killing it.
Yes. Okay. Speaking of killing it, the first thing I want to talk with you about is the Real Housewives of Potomac season 6 trailer dropped.
Oh my God. Chills over my body. Chills.
Okay. Well, let's play the audio for our listeners first.
One thing you learn about living in Potomac, it's a town of smoke and mirrors. Never know who you can trust.
Rally your pom-pom.
It's been through worse.
I should be able to show my pubic hair.
Right.
Oh God. Oh my God. I gotta go.
Where is the craziest place that you have ever had sex?
This is the craziest place. Waffle House bathroom.
Well, I'm a damn.
Mia is a boss. She's a breath of fresh air.
I just like to have a good time no matter what we're doing.
Jiminy crickets.
I didn't grow up with all of it.
I earned it.
I was in the foster care system.
So sheer mom gave you up.
They came and took me.
What did my dad do?
It's what he didn't do.
I wanted you to come save the day.
Decisions that were made best for you.
How's this gonna look with the rest of them? Because it's so much smaller.
That's okay, give it a chance to grow up. You were smaller when I married you. Who is that?
Good morning, handsome.
Let me see.
Let me see. Where you taking my phone?
I'll find her.
I just can't imagine having like sex.
Yeah.
It's harder than I thought.
Chris is managing me.
Seven, yeah. Look, throw, yes.
I take care of all your shit all day long.
Shut up.
I've been like unmotivated lately.
Robin, you gotta get out the bed. Go do something.
All right.
You cannot have your fine husband telling you unattractive.
Jamona having a pandemic long distance relationship is not working.
Honey, you got dragged. Then you let him back in and he dragged you again.
You are tired. You can't give me 100%.
Are you happy? Are you fulfilled?
No.
So when are we gonna talk about the Eddie rumors?
What Eddie rumors?
What you're not going to do is you're not going to play with my husband's name.
Everyone knows. That's why we went to Sing Sing.
What Sing Sing?
We don't need no f***ing moment. Shut the f*** up. I want Ray to pay his bills.
Are you talking to me?
I see you for everything everybody ever said that you were.
I don't give a s***.
These motherf***ing cameras. I will light your ass up.
It's enough drama.
Okay, can I start by saying Giselle stays shady talking about other people's husbands again?
That's her job.
Right?
That's her strong suit.
Yeah.
And she does it with such a flair. Like, she is truly such a unique human being. And there's something to say about how certain people can get away with saying certain things. Can I give you an example?
Yes, please.
Okay, so my mom, for anybody who doesn't know, was a shop girl, meaning she worked at a high-end department store for 30 years. And she would have all of her co-counter manager women would say, Vita, the things you can get away with saying. If I told a customer that they had dry skin and needed to buy this moisturizer, I would get fired before I finished the sentence. You can tell someone everything that's wrong with them and they just hang on and want to listen. Giselle has the art of just like calling people out, and you don't dislike her for it. You want the truth to come out.
Right. I mean, we need someone like Giselle on these shows who continues to move the story forward, as they say, right? I mean, that is what she does so very well.
So well.
Well, we have a new housewife. What is your first impression based on the trailer of Mia?
I love the fact that she says, especially during a time where the world was such a stressful place, I love that she says, I just want to have a good time every day, everywhere I go. It's just got to be fun. And I get this burst of energy, like, that's what I need to do. I need to lighten up and have some fun and not be so heavy. So I just love that, you know, not laissez-faire, just like she's like spicy. I love that energy.
Yeah, that is kind of a Shaw's energy, I feel. Ooh. Like, right? Like everything is supposed to be fun.
Thank you for the compliment, because we too had a bad, we had a very dark, we had a heavy, serious year last year. And now this year, it's so fun. Yeah. To be, you know, hanging out and mending fences. Not to digress. I love what Mia is bringing, because to be on Potomac means that you have to be ready for the most raw, most controversial, private, like they get so deep into everything. What Mia brings, because she's new, she doesn't have that fear and seriousness like everyone else on Potomac has to be more on guard.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like everyone has been through it on Potomac because they put each other through everything.
Yeah. Well, do you think last season there was some tension between Karen and Dr. Wendy? They ran in the same social circles. They sat on the same committees for different foundations or something like that. They did know each other prior, but Karen seemed to be maybe hazing her a little bit. Do you think Karen will do the same thing to Mia this season?
I think she will. And I think that Karen, the grande dame, can do whatever Karen sees fit, you know?
I agree.
I did that on my show. I mean, on Shaw's, like, I didn't think of it as hazing, but I did. Like, I was like, I stay in my lane. I got to where I am by being myself. So do I need to stop being myself because you're here? So I think Karen masterfully does Karen and should never stop for anybody.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she is just one of my all-time favorites without question. And it'll be interesting to see how she navigates the season with Wendy, because, you know, there is all of this stuff about Eddie, which honestly, just watching that in the trailer broke my heart, because I love Eddie. He is so handsome. He seems so loving and obviously is so committed to Wendy. He doesn't have a relationship with his family. So knowing that there are some kind of rumors about him is stressing me out already.
You know, he's so handsome. And that's the thing. I'm going to use the corniest word right now, but I get so titillated. I get like aroused in a very, like, I'm a married woman. And that's why I like Potomac so much, because they take us through their really private marital issues. And I feel like it's marriage counseling, because it's, you know, everybody loves Eddie. Who doesn't love Eddie? Everyone thinks he's handsome. Everyone, when we met Wendy, was like, wow, you really have it all. And so what happens when you come back for season two, you start to see the cracks.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
That's what we're seeing.
All right.
It's true. Obviously, with everything that went down last season on Potomac, it was interesting to me to see Candace retaliate when we see Mia throw the spinach or the salad or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We get that moment of Candace retaliating. And I'm like, oh no, I don't want to go back to the place where we are discussing an altercation of any kind. Like, let's stay away from that.
Anytime that she acts out, I blame her mom.
Right.
I just blame her mom.
Yes.
I'm like, her mom is the cause. She's just acting out. This is not anything other than childhood stuff resurfacing. I always want to forgive her and I always want to give her a pass. Is that fair? No, not necessarily. Do I do it? Yes. So I'm excited to see the full scene of, you know, that when it goes down.
I know. It's so interesting you say that you give her a pass because of her mom, because I do the same thing for Kenya on Atlanta. I'm like, well, every time she does something shady, possibly terrible to someone else, I'm always like, well, if we just remember what she's been through as a child and her mom and all of those abandonment issues and whatever, I'm like, it just makes sense. But
yes,
I think I make too many excuses sometimes for Kenya, but you know.
Well, because the beautiful thing about all of this talent in every single room is that everyone's got a story and we learn from watching each other's stories, right? So
yeah,
Kenya is a master of life. She just can call out things and she helps me process my thoughts. So if I'm confused about something, I just wait to see what Kenya has to say about it. And then I'll be like, oh, that's why I felt that way.
Right.
She just broke it down.
Well, Potomac premieres July 11th, 8 p.m. Set your DVRs. Everyone remind each other, tell your friends, don't sleep on Potomac.
No one's going to sleep on Potomac because everyone knows that it is life.
Yes. We also, I want to let our listeners know, released a bonus episode with Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Crystal Kung Minkoff. So it's a bonus episode featuring an interview with her. Go take a listen. Also, MJ, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I have a little something I've been doing and it's my daily affirmation. So I just wanted to say that I am so grateful for you joining me as a co-host today. I am grateful for Bravo, for the return of Potomac, and for BravoCon coming in October.
Yes, I can't wait to do BravoCon. And are you not going to be grateful for Tommy Fight for the affirmation bell? Hello?
That's true. I should actually be grateful for Tommy because he gave me that moment. So,
you know, he does, you know, that same alarm that I don't know if that was intentional, but that alarm goes off in my house all day and night. And if he leaves his phone in another room, then I have to wait until he hears it and decides to get up and turn it off. Like it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing in our house.
It does haunt you a little bit, right?
For sure.
A little
bit. Why can't you choose like chimes or something that's, you know, shorter and right. less loud.
Yeah. Less aggressive. I mean, I will say I do not ever use that particular ringtone. I always have something that's like a little softer and it like kind of ascends. You know, it's not super aggressive right off the bat. That one is a bit startling, but
a crescendo.
Yes, that's what it is. That's the word.
If I were going to be in a coma and I needed to wake myself up, that would be the alarm that I would set.
You'd shoot right up out of bed like, what?
There were no doctors or anyone to get me out of ICU bells. And that would have to be the self-resuscitating audio.
There you go. Okay, well, let's get into our episode recaps because I am so excited to talk all of these shows with you today. So obviously, I think we should start with Shaz.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so can you please give me some tennis tips because I'm going to Fire Island this weekend and someone offered that we can play tennis and I am terrible.
Okay, so first of all, you have to look cute, feel yourself, do the white, and you have to be fast. You cannot, if I can only give you one tip, don't hesitate because it's the matter of nanoseconds. You have to be so quick and just go for it. You know, a couple of volleys and then you'll get your groove. Or find like a really hot tennis instructor, get private lessons and then kill it next time.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Yeah. I mean, because how many times have I seen Ramona and all different people out on the tennis court,
Jill Zarin.
Hannah Berner from Summer House, Jill Zarin. I'm like, I could probably pull that off, but I'm not good. So I'll look into a Garth type, you know, trainer.
Yes. I want Hannah to coach me this week because since I am in town, I want her to.
True.
I think she will. I think I can talk Hannah into meeting me up for tennis. But you know what else is great about it is that you will burn so many calories, even if you're bad. And the exercise that you get from tennis is motivation enough even to be bad. It's fun.
Right. That is a good point. Okay. Well, tell us more about your connection with London because we meet her for the first time in this episode.
You know, Instagram is known for like either, you know, self-promotion, but when you say that you slide into someone's DM, it's to date them. But in this is not an exaggeration. I literally discovered her because I don't see a lot of people spending that much time with their family, with their grandparents. And when the way that London's, her mom has such chutzpah. She has such a fire. And I love that a woman in her 80s is, you know, God bless her, is so full of joie de vivre. And so when I found her, I thought, okay, I can't tell her how I feel right away. But then after so many times of just seeing her on my explore page, I added her and then I messaged her. And then we started like casually talking over the course of years. And I really slid into her DMs and befriended her because I wanted it not to be weird that I wanted to like reach out. But I thought, is it so wrong that you want to make new friends in your 40s? Because sometimes relationships come to a natural end and then you want to start new ones with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talk about it with my friends all the time. I just turned, you know, 34 or something. And we talk about it a lot. You know, I am still friends with so many people from college and we have such a strong connection, but trying to create new friendships as an adult is really difficult. Where are you supposed to do it? So it's interesting that through social media, you can actually establish authentic connections with people.
And the art of making new friends is that you have to do it gradually.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, you can't come on too strong, but you can, you know, give a compliment and notice things about each other and just, you know, let it be a slow simmer.
Right, right. Well, we see her go with you guys to Palm Springs. So I'm really excited to talk about when you guys get there. But before we get to Palm Springs, has everyone on this cast seen Mike's penis at this point?
Oh, yes. Everyone has seen his penis. And if the last one was London, the only thing I find conspicuous is that she said it was really nice. Like there's certain characteristics about Mike's penis that she would have said before just saying that it was nice.
Me and Mike's penis met about a year ago, actually.
He's a real sweetheart. I'll come take all your bags wherever you want to go.
Me and my mutual friend were hanging out, and then Mike's penis texted. I felt slightly traumatized.
Mike, she made me carry this.
But, I mean, for a penis, it was nice.
Does that make sense?
I think so.
So if you saw a giraffe for the first time, this is a random example.
Is it random?
And you were describing...
I think I might know what you're getting at.
So if someone said, did you see the giraffe at the zoo? What does the giraffe look like? If you didn't say the giraffe had a long neck, then did you really see the giraffe?
Right. Okay. Yes. I get it now.
So I'm going to throw a little shade at London and say, when she said at the end, it was nice, I got a little suspicious.
Yes, right. Okay, and also because not all the time do gay women say that a penis is necessarily nice, but I guess she must have had some points of reference in her life and could at least maybe say his was nice, but I guess you're not totally sure if she...
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, because usually, you know, like if you're talking about a gender that you're not attracted to sexually, then it's uncomfortable to talk about being sexually attractive about somebody else's anatomical sexual organs, because it's not genuinely how we feel, because it's so animalistic. So I think there's going to be more to unfold to this story.
Interesting. Okay. Well, fair enough. I mean, I would trust whatever Reza had to say about Mike's penis, because I think we as gay men are a little bit better at judging penises, you know? We've seen a lot.
What did he say?
I don't know what he said, if he said anything, but I think he sort of said the same thing. It's a nice penis. It's a good penis, you know? I don't know if he said that specifically. I would imagine
he believes that. Honey, both of them are holding back. Let me just tell you.
Okay, fair.
And by the way, if we don't change the subject, Tommy's going to divorce me.
Right. Is he listening in the other room? He's like, what are you talking about?
He's in the backyard with the family, and hopefully they won't come in here and be like, wait, my spidey senses went off and you're being inappropriate about somebody else.
Maris is saying a lot about penises right now.
Okay.
Let's jump to Palm Springs. What was your mindset going into it with both Reza and Mike?
So I probably haven't been this nervous since prom night.
Wow.
We all had so much invested in the weekend because we're all on lockdown during a quarantine, a global pandemic. We've all had a lot of pent-up emotions. We all wanted things to change, but we're also complicated and sensitive and emotional. And I know, like, Golnessa has to, you know, withhold her emotions and feel sort of strong and brooding and cool. And then here we have Mike and me and Reza. I mean, no matter how you slice it, everybody was apprehensive.
Right. Of course. I mean, it seemed very nerve-wracking for everyone as soon as everyone got to the house together. People seemed pretty anxious. It was a bit awkward about the groceries. Like, can you guys go get them? You know, there was definitely a weird air that you could feel even as a viewer watching it.
So true. I'm so glad that they captured it too, because we were all just really nervous and we hadn't really been communicating. And when you only get nervous when you care about something, you don't get nervous if it's nothing to you.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're invested in your friend circle and you've been fractured for so long, it's actually a compliment that we were all nervous. And like, if one of us was totally laissez-faire, then we would be really offended.
Yeah, that is a good point. I mean, it, at the end of the day, you all genuinely care about each other, but there were a lot of unresolved issues going into this weekend. And we'd see that between Nima and Reza pretty much right away. So did you feel in the middle of that conflict in some ways?
Yes, because the history that Reza and I have, even if we weren't in the closest place, I can still pull him aside, tug him by the ear and say, listen, you've got to fix this. And he will. He'll listen to me. He'll be amenable to something that I see that he trusts me, even if we have recently gone through this thing. So when I see the way that, you know, he toyed with Nima's emotions a lot last year when he was teasing him on social, and it really gets to Nima. And of course, Nima is another alpha male who doesn't want to admit anything, but you just can see the happiness leave his face when he's not good with everyone.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, it was really interesting to see them go at each other. Reza got really upset. You know, Nima wasn't really backing down. And it's understandable. Like you said, Nima, in his alpha male way, was like, I'm not going to give in to this. But London really came in with this calming energy, not just with the two of them, but also later on with Gigi. So did you kind of bring London along knowing that she might be able to, I don't know, mediate the situations?
That's exactly what I did, because yeah, I knew that she has this real talent for seeing people. Like, she's an empath, obviously, but also she's really a good listener. She's culturally connected to us. And, you know, I know that we've all had that one conversation that we've been waiting to have with another person for a really long time. And you play the conversation the way you imagine it will be in your head. And then there's the way it actually goes down when you have the conversation. So
yeah,
I don't think that Reza expected himself to blow up at Nima. And I was visibly shaken by seeing Nima so angry to be attacked, like, you know, to be approached aggressively the way he was. So the fact that London could just calmly bring light into the thing, I was like, this is exactly what we need, because, you know, no one's going to mess with someone who, like, in our crew, we're wolves, but we also know that she has no dogs in the fight.
Right.
You know, she's going to be objective and fair.
Yeah, that is a good point. And, you know, we see her talking later on with Gigi and talking her through the relationship stuff that Gigi seems to be dealing with about wanting to be polyamorous. So has Gigi ever spoken to you about that before?
Actually, I'm resonating a little bit with polyamory.
Interesting. Okay.
Not sexually, because of sexual speaking. I can't hit this on my head anymore.
I mean, I admire the fact that you really know what you want.
Polyamory is for people who enjoy being in relationships, but not with just one person.
Yes, because when I met Kulnessa many, many moons ago, she wanted to be married and start having children in her like late 20s, early 30s. So it didn't happen. And then she started to change her view because she was married and, you know, to Shalom, and it didn't go as well as, you know, a girl would dream. So she switched into this thing like, I'm never going to get married. Like, I am so anti. And I thought it was really interesting that when we were younger, I was anti-marriage and here I am married. And then she was pro marriage, and now she's the wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
And if I respect the fact that she is become such a trailblazer in that she's having a baby on her own. And now she's thinking, let me do something else that's really modern, which is to have to explore multiple relationships, companionship, lovers, you know, because there are different definitions of polyamory. And I'm not the, you know, I'm not the PhD on it, but I know there are different kinds that you can have.
Right, right.
To, you know, make your life, like, make it work for you, girl.
Yeah, I mean, totally. And it seems like London, even as a relationship coach, is also familiarizing herself with the concept of polyamory and how it all works. So it is going to be interesting to see Gigi explore that. I hope we do get more into it later on in the season, because I'm very curious to know how that would really look.
I always said, this is what I said when I was like young and foolish and wild. I was like, I'm going to have multiple lovers. I'm going to have about 7 relationships like Elizabeth Taylor, you know, marriages. And now I think and hope that Golnessa will actually bring it to fruition.
Right, right. You can live vicariously through her.
Absolutely. Or yes.
Well, all eyes are really on Mike by the end of this episode. You guys go around and share your resolutions, which are all really great. What can you tease about Paulina and her arrival next week? The confrontation between Destiny and Mike in this episode. There's just so many layers to it. You know, I'm so curious to hear your perspective on it.
Well, I'm always the one in the group that wants us all to be so close, because I am an only child. So I want a big bustling household and big voices. And I just always want togetherness. I'm really glad that Destiny is close with Paulina, but it backfires on Mike and Paulina, because then she finds out too much. And then, you know, what is the group going to do? When you love someone, you want what's best for them. And it's hard, because you have to be honest, you have to keep it real. And then, I mean, whose side are you on? Is there a side? You know, what I can tease about next week is that I guess you're just going to see everything a bit, like you're going to hear from, oh my God, this is so hard. I'm so invested in Mike and Paulina that I just don't even know how to function when they're not amazing. Like, okay, just go back to last year when we were all in Hawaii celebrating Paulina's birthday, and then look at where they are.
I know.
Now. And it's, you know, I was sitting at the luau and she was professing to him repeatedly throughout that weekend, like, this is my soulmate. And I kept thinking, like, this is a really ballsy thing for a woman to sit and say in front of the world.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because that pessimist inside of me was like, girl, that's really ballsy for you to say all this stuff. Like, you're really putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Well, because even as viewers, I mean, we have all seen Mike's past. So even for us watching Paulina say these things, we're all kind of like, oh, we want to believe it. You want to support it. She seems like such an amazing woman. And knowing how close he is with her kids and everything, you know, it really was coming into this season, even for me as a viewer, I was just like, oh no, I don't feel like we're in the same place we were before.
Mike has stepped into the stepfather role fully, both sleeves rolled up. He is so dedicated. I think that he is more of a hands-on stepdad than most fathers are.
Wow.
He is so invested. And then imagine, how do you can't just break up with someone if you get into a fight like you could when you were young and immature. Now you've got children and everyone's emotionally invested. And so you don't make choices based on your own feelings. Everything you do has a ripple effect, a trickle effect on everybody.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I'm excited for Paulina to come next week. I know we see in the next on clip that he makes a speech and it seems like he is about to apologize to everyone and maybe make some confession. So I know you can't say too much, but
it's wild. Yeah. It's wild. What he says next week is what you would never expect Mike to own up to.
Wow.
Like he bit off the whole entire horse's head. And I think I made up this expression. I don't know what that means, but
visual.
he put a whole box of chewing gum, bubble gum in his mouth and chewed on. No, really, Mike just did the most in his speech and he blew everybody away because, you know, we're used to seeing Mike kind of try to just get away without saying anything.
Which is what we've seen so far this season. He seems to be a little dodgy about everything.
There you go. There you go. He's
okay.
Usually dodgy, not this time.
Wow. Okay, great. All right. I'm so excited to watch next week's. Thank you for all of that. That's amazing. Okay, what do you want to talk next?
Beverly Hills.
No, I think you're right. Let's go to Beverly Hills. We'll stay geographically close to where you guys are in Palm Springs and we'll head over. Well, actually, they go to Tahoe in this episode. So
not far.
Not far at all.
Yeah, I learned how to ski in Lake Tahoe. So I have fond memories. It's a beautiful place.
Okay, so let's start at the top of the episode with this conversation that we see between Garcelle and Kyle, which definitely feels long overdue. And I'm so glad we got to finally see it.
Yes, because that's another perfect example of when you have to hold on to something for a really long time. And it's really hard to have these emotions pent up. Like Garcelle, I'm sure, was mortified and hurt, like she said, to the bone. And then, you know, how do you manage it's like a wound that you just have to keep putting like Neosporin and Band-Aids on it and pretend it's not there until you get to have that face to face. It's hard.
Right, right. And, you know, I think Kyle really was blindsided in a lot of ways by what Garcelle said about, you know, as a Black woman, this is how that statement and what you said and what you put out there affected me. And there have been so many conversations like that for so many people in the course of the last year. And it was so important for Kyle to hear that and understand that it wasn't just about this payment. You know, there was something so much bigger to it. Like you said, it was a wound that Garcelle has been tending to as a Black woman her whole life. So to put it into that perspective and to watch Kyle really sit back and listen to what Garcelle had to say, it was just such an important moment for the two of them. And I think that's going to help their relationship stay positive throughout the rest of the season.
If we'd been getting along fine, I never would have said anything. You know,
would you have said it to one of the white women? This is how I feel. I feel like it was weaponized towards me being a Black woman.
Oh my God, like, I don't have any issues with you.
I know you probably didn't intentionally, but I don't think you realize the effect that it has on me being a Black woman.
Yes, because as a kid who was also, I'm an ethnic minority, and I grew up in a place there weren't a lot of other people that were Middle Eastern or brown or anything. And so,
yeah.
I grew up in a WASPy place and I have a lot of unresolved feelings and conversations that I've never talked about because I was so busy trying to fit in as a child and adolescent that when I see something like this with Garcelle and Kyle, and I see that Kyle reconciles it and understands it and embraces it, I get to figure out and address some of my own issues. And I appreciate Garcelle talking about the stereotypes that she's had to fight all of her life because, you know, Garcelle is clearly a very strong woman who has been told, like she said, to downplay her emotions because she doesn't want to feed into a stereotype about herself. So then I get to examine my life. And this is why this show is therapy and all of our shows are such great therapy is because you have a moment where you can stop and say, yes, I felt this way. And thank you, because now I'm genuinely getting a better understanding of myself. And like now I'll walk into a room and ask somebody a question that in the past I would think I wasn't able to ask. When Garcelle said to Kyle, I would like you to ask me a question. What is it like being a Black woman in this situation, whatever the situation is? it's such a learning moment for all of us that the door has been opened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can close some of these gaps.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, it's very powerful. And, you know, I do want to get into the conversation we see at the end of the episode with Kyle and Sutton and Crystal, because it really does tie back to so many things. But let's get into them arriving at Tahoe. This actually, you know what I need to call out is Garcelle's new interview look.
Oh my God.
Can we talk about that for a second?
She is so amazing. Can her stylist please come over to my house?
Oh my God. I mean, that hair would look so good on you.
Ugh, she's just such a model.
she's stunning.
So beautiful.
She really came and showed up with that interview look. Okay. So this place that they go to in Tahoe is like a home I've never seen before. What?
17 bedrooms and 40 acres. I mean, I can't even fathom. 1 acre is huge. That was so beautiful. But like their houses and everything about their lives are so extra that of course they're going to have the most beautiful house ever built in Lake Tahoe.
Right. I mean, they could have brought your entire cast with them and you all would have fit in the house and had your own bathroom.
And then some.
And then some. Yes. I mean, it's wild. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Okay. So everyone gets to the house. It's obviously COVID. You know, they have to carry their own bags, which so many of these women are not used to at this point.
Heavy bags.
I mean, they packed a lot. It's Beverly Hills. Hello. I mean, Kyle had like a bag for just her hats alone.
That's what I loved about Kyle. That was the best moment.
It's so funny. And you know what else I thought was really funny about them going to Tahoe is typically we see Kyle being the one who's anxious on a plane. I mean, since the very first season, she's been the one who's afraid of flying. So to see Garcelle in that moment being like, I don't like tiny planes. I was like, oh, Kyle, you're not alone.
That's right. It was. And anytime you watch their flying anxiety, I always thought it, I love you just know that Garcelle has been on so many adventures that she got the fear because she was on so many sketchy flights while she was modeling.
Well, she makes it safely. Thank goodness.
Yes.
What I love about watching them unpack is Kathy Hilton has this fan thing and the fact that she brought her own fan. I am the same way. I need to sleep with some kind of sound, like a steady hum, either the AC on, even if it's winter, or the fan blowing or something. Otherwise, I can't fall asleep. I felt so connected to Kathy in that moment.
Oh my God. Same here. So there is a fan and my father started this with me with like the white noise. And that's why during massages and spas, like the second that you walk into your favorite spa, you're going to hear something that's just really light and just like, it doesn't matter what it is, but it really does help you sleep better.
Yes. Yes. It has to be steady. It has to be soft. It has to be kind of loud, I suppose. Loud enough that it drowns out other potential noises. I mean, you're here in Queens. You know how noisy New York City can get. So
You
got to drown out whatever we can.
Even sometimes the voices in your head.
Right, exactly. We got a lot of those too.
You're your own worst. I'm my own worst enemy every night when I'm trying to sleep.
I know. It's so true. Well, Kyle decides that she's going to cook a dinner for everyone, even though they have a personal chef there. I thought that was kind of interesting.
She turned her into a sous chef.
Yes.
She was like, did you do the salmon yet? And she's like, I'm about to get to that. And she's like, well, we need the salmon to be opened. Okay.
Right.
Did you cut the vegetables yet? Did you slice the cucumbers? What are the tomatoes doing? They're not going to cut themselves. It was amazing.
It was so funny though, because Kyle is such a super mom. And so to see her go into that mode while on vacation after being in quarantine for so long and probably preparing so many meals for her kids in the last year, why did she want to do it at this vacation? Why not just let the chef do it? I'd be like, you can take care of this whole thing. I'm going to sit back and relax.
Okay. Wash these and then make them into 8 pieces. I just need to get the romaine lettuce cut. Is the salmon cut?
I'm going to do it right now.
So I'm boiling the pasta in here, correct? Okay. Do you know where I could find a cheese platter?
Oh, get one now.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. How can I help?
What do you want me to do?
I need like a drink.
Do you want me to make you a drink? That I can do.
Who can make drinks? Yes. Do you know how to make a margarita? No.
Yes.
You do? I mean, I don't know how to make a margarita, so I don't know.
Yeah, easy.
It definitely takes balls to tell that to a chef. I've been in this situation many times, and you're basically saying, okay, you can hang your hat over there. I'm like, basically you're benching the quarterback right. for the game and saying like, I don't care. I want to do it. Well, that's the beauty of it. It's like, we've been so deprived of everything that we enjoy that now you kind of let the tiger out of the cage. She's like, and she even said it in her confessional. She said, I don't care. I know there's a chef. I'm doing this.
Right. Yeah. She was determined. She was determined. And then through it all, she burns the salmon.
Black. We'll just call it blackened salmon. No, girl, it's burnt.
It's burnt. It's not smoked. It's burnt.
To a char.
After dinner, we get into this two truths and a lie game, which thank you, Dorit, for bringing this to this event.
Yes.
Because what a fun game.
That was such a fun game. And some people played it a lot better than others.
Yes, that is very true. I mean, Crystal, right off the bat with hers, I was totally thrown, as I think all of the women were. And I was like, wow, she just got a lot more interesting to me.
Crystal, you go first.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Yes. I've been arrested. I worked at an escort agency. I've been propositioned to become a madam.
Totally. She's lived. Because when we first meet Crystal, we think of her as very sheltered and has this like really cushy life. But no, honey, she got a lot in her time when she was a teenager. And I loved when she said her truths and lies. I thought, wait a minute, none of these can be true.
Right.
Unless she was like, unless she was arrested the same way that Jane Fonda gets arrested, you know, like Capitol Hill for, but like, it was fascinating to know that she was willing to share, because what if you decide to lie? Like Erica Jane didn't do, she did not get the A+ for right. the game. She did not score the highest.
No. And I was so intrigued by that moment, because obviously we remember from the Super Tease when it came out, this two truths and a lie moment. And, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of lean into the Erica of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to know more about her truth. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that one truth about the informant will ever play into the larger storyline that we're going to face. But I don't know. There's something going on there, right?
I don't know. There's definitely something going on. She's lived a very, very interesting life. I'm sure we'll find out at some point. And, you know, I think that she has the balls to tell us everything.
Yes.
I suspect her hands may be tied, because when she said that I've already said too much, I don't think that was by her choice. I think that she would tell us everything if she could. But like, we all know that she's, you know, got some legal issues to deal with. And, you know, when you've got, sometimes you've got a gag order.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, the informant thing is one thing, but for it to be some kind of mafia connection, well, you definitely can't talk about that on TV, you know? So
no way.
We may not get that answer. I have a question for you, actually, as someone on a reality TV show, would you trust Lisa Rinna if she were on your cast?
Do you know that I was specifically thinking about talking to you today about Lisa Rinna? So
really?
Yes. Oh. Now, I love Lisa Rinna on off television.
Mm-hmm.
So I've met her enough times and interacted with her enough times off camera to know that she's a terrific woman. I would want her as a sister, as a friend, as a mother, as a anything. And there's something that changes, that shifts when she is in the moment where she tells Garcelle, like, I can't guarantee that.
Right.
That I'll never hurt you, that I'll never cut you. Like, that's unfortunately the truth, because she definitely, in my opinion, disappointed Denise Richards and thereby was a cautionary tale to Garcelle, because Lisa Rinna should have been more of a friend to Denise Richards from everything that we saw, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think she's really tough because she knows that her role in life is to speak her mind. And I like I said, IRL, love Rinna. In this dynamic, I think she's really tough, really tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting, the whole conversation we see between her and Garcelle, and they kind of end it with Rinna almost putting the responsibility back on Garcelle and being like, well, you got to keep me in check. And why is that anybody else's job? Well, you know, Rinna needs to be a little bit more responsible with the things she says and does to her friends. And maybe being on this show, the lines have just blurred for her, you know, what you say on camera versus, or what you should say on camera versus what you shouldn't. And maybe she doesn't really know how to differentiate that as much anymore.
So I listened to Andy Cohen on Radio Andy, and he had Rinna on a couple of years ago. And after she had her Munchausen season, she decided, like, I'm not getting my hands dirty anymore. That was way too painful for me. She said some things about Yolanda Foster that I think were really hard for her to deal with, like the aftermath and having it play out again. So then we got Rinna, who was very reserved, you know, for a while. And when I heard her talking about it, I think she grapples with it herself. Like, I think she knows that it's a problem that she doesn't know how to deal with. Like, she's perfect to tie this back to Giselle. Like, Giselle can say things and get away with them. It's like she has this amazing ability to do that. With Rinna, it's harder. And no, she can't put it on Garcelle. She needs to own it on herself.
Own it. It's true, though. I mean, even for you being on TV for so long, do you feel like there have been moments in your life where you've said something because the camera is there, and then all of a sudden you're like, why did I do that? There must be something to it that when the cameras are in there, you almost can't control yourself, right?
It's true, because there is an element of the camera that ignites something inside of you, and you want to, you know, it's your job to speak up. You know that if you don't say anything, you're going to live to regret it. But it's hard. It's a really difficult line to walk.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And of course, I've had so many moments, like things that I've said, or if even like add alcohol, and then you're just like really rough around the edges. And, you know, sometimes you just say things that don't even have anything to do with the situation. You're just exhausted and emotional, like a child who needs a nap.
Right. Well, actually, all of those things you just said kind of remind me of what Sonia's going through on Roni. So we can definitely get into a little bit more of that when we talk New York.
Amazing right? segue. Yes.
Well, before we get into Roni, I do want to wrap up with this whole Crystal. Moment at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, between Kyle and Sutton and Crystal, because I have to tell you, MJ, I love Sutton. I was so excited to find out that she is a diamond holder this season. And I interviewed her just the other week. We had a great conversation. And I was just so rooting for her. And then I saw the super tease and I was like, uh-oh, things going on with Crystal. What's this going to be? Mm-hmm. And then seeing this moment in this episode, I'm just like, oh no, she is all sorts of wrong here. So what was going through your mind when you watched this conversation burst into flames?
Okay. So if you go to my, the season that Sutton premiered that night, I did an IG just dedicated to Sutton, saying that like nobody sleep on Sutton. She's amazing. So yes, I am a Sutton stan. But when I saw the dynamic between Crystal and Kyle and Sutton, I was on the edge of my seat, but I took it as another learning opportunity because I love Crystal so much. I love that she speaks about her culture and about, you know, it's impossible to be colorblind, but I do agree that Sutton wasn't talking about that at the time. And I do agree that Sutton made a point when she said white trash, Southern, like Southerners can also be considered white trash. It was just, I don't think that Sutton has a racist bone in her body, but like nobody, when you're in a room with like a diverse makeup of people, I think that she was afraid that if she said something that she would, like something she would say would come off a way.
Yeah.
So you can't say like, I don't acknowledge. There's a difference between like growing up and saying, I'm not prejudiced, and saying that prejudice doesn't exist.
Right.
You know, because you may not realize that people get sized up. Like when Garcelle talked about being in a restaurant and not getting good service, you know, she was talking about something that happened to her. So I think that Sutton also didn't experience, Sutton can't be skewered because she didn't experience something that Crystal did experience. So I think it's, I'm still Sutton Stan. She didn't jar me with anything she said. I think it was just like, they're going to get there. They're going to figure it out together.
I sure hope so, because Crystal really won me over in this episode. In the first episode, I wasn't so sure how I felt about her. And then the two truths and a lie, and then this conversation at the end, I was like, all right, I see you, Crystal. I'm all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's the thing about Housewives is, you know, every moment you're sort of shifting how you feel about somebody. And just, you know, the only part I had trouble with was Sutton not really letting Crystal speak. She was trying to get it out there, and Sutton was kind of shutting it down in a way that I was like,
Yeah, she wanted to get ahead of it. She was like, well, before you say anything and try to make me look bad, I want to fix this because I don't want to look bad.
Yes.
This is a really sticky topic.
Yeah, that is a really good point, because I'm going to watch the scene again and try to of Sutton's, you know, the process that she was working through in her mind. And I think that makes a lot of sense, because the cameras are rolling. Sutton knows it's early in the season. You're at risk of really establishing what your storyline might be for the rest of the, you know, filming. So that's definitely a different perspective that I need to look at it from.
Because she's a beautiful, privileged, wealthy white woman living during the high peak of cancel culture. And she may not feel a prejudice bone in her body, but that doesn't mean that prejudice doesn't exist around us.
Yes.
So I think it was preemptive, but I will go back and watch it again. And like you said, this is a beautiful journey, because when we see one episode and we just learn something else about someone, when Crystal in episode one was like kind of shading Dorit, that's when we were like, oh, are you going to come in and try to be a hater? Because I don't know if we want you to just come in and be a hater.
Yeah, not to Dorit. Okay. You know, I would die for her. So there's just no way that I want to hear any shade around Dorit. But, you know, Crystal was testing the waters, I think, in early interviews, figuring out, you know, you got to lean into the shade a little bit, right? That's the whole thing.
Right. But then, you know, it's funny because both of their husbands are such big players in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, you know, then I was like, oh, I mean, Crystal must enjoy looking at her husband's, like, you know, like invite lists. And then, then I also know that like PK was also like extremely charming before he was married, and he still is considered, like, there's a whole PK that we don't see. So, yeah, I'm sure that she was like, I just love the energy that this dynamic has brought to each other, because they're testing each other, and like, we're going to all learn from watching. Like, who would have thought? Because we always think that our Housewives are our Bravo shows are our guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're really doing such important things, talking about culture, and it's going to be, like, I'm telling you, it really, really makes the conversations that you have in your real life better.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's escapism. Like, Bravo is still there for you to escape from, but you have to take every moment as a learning opportunity when you have different people on the shows with different perspectives and different life experiences. And it's always been that way. Now we're just starting to really layer in race, sexuality, all sorts of different things. So let's just embrace it. And keep going.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm excited to see next week. Let's get into New York, because we had just started to touch a little bit on everything that poor Sonia Morgan is going through at this moment. What is your take on all of this Sonia drama? I mean, sometimes she's just not making sense to me. I don't know what she's really upset about, whether she's drunk or sober.
You know, those water pills that she takes that are so good. Like, she looks great in a bathing suit at all times. So they must work for something. But I don't know why, you know, we all root for Sonia. We all want to see her happy. The last time we saw her, she was, you know, cutting a ribbon at Century 21, right?
Yeah.
And like the Sonia Morgan line. So for that to have gone downhill, I think that's the reason why she I mean, she's said she's sharing it with us. It's just hard for us because to have the Sonia Morgan collection land in retail stores, and then they filed for chapter bankruptcy, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Then she had to move back into her townhouse because nobody was renting it out. And then her daughter's, you know, starting to get older so that she's not as dependent on her. And then she doesn't have a man in her life. I mean, I really think it's simple. She's leaning on alcohol now because that's what we do when we're upset. And it's really, really hard to watch. But I really think that that really cute moment between her and Ramona was, it was really what it was. I mean, it was like Ramona crying with her was, I laughed, but it's true. You know?
I wish I could take it all away.
Oh, right. I mean, that's the thing about Ramona, right? You can't help but laugh sometimes. And it's so funny because for so many seasons, I've gone back and forth on Ramona. She'll do things that drive me nuts. And then I'm like, but she is the quintessential New York housewife. Like, what would the show be without Ramona? But I've found myself this season in a lot of situations, really seeing things from her perspective, which really is surprising to me. And I think especially around all of the stuff that's happening with Leah and this moment where she dismisses Leah, I don't really blame Ramona for it. Did it come across as a little inconsiderate? Sure. But have you met Ramona? I mean, that's what she's going to do. But I don't know. I found myself really seeing things from Ramona's perspective so far this season.
What I noticed was that when Bethany left, it allowed for there to be more oxygen in the room so that Ramona could shine a little bit more. And all of a sudden we see Luann and Ramona have an opportunity to talk to each other. Whereas in the past, they wouldn't go to each other, but now they're, you know, they're OGs and they're finding that, wow, I can really find a friend and I have the space to, you know, discover myself. This is like me imagining myself in Ramona's head. Like, I have an opportunity to discover myself through Leah. I can discover like how I can be nurturing to Sonia because now I can confide in Luann. And, you know, I think that they're just getting to know themselves and each other more and they're trusting each other and they're being more vulnerable with each other.
Yeah, I agree. I really agree. And I think Ramona wanted to protect that in that moment where Leah approached them and they were talking about Sonia and everything you said is pretty much what they were discussing about what Sonia's going through in this moment. And Ramona was like, I don't need this to be a conversation that you're involved with. I'm talking with Luann about our friend that we've known for a really long time. And I think she wanted to protect that friendship, that sort of core Sonia, Ramona, Luann, that, you know, they know each other way better than any of the other women on the show right now. I mean, there's not that many at this point. There's only the other two, which is crazy that there's only five.
That's crazy. That's crazy. There's only five on New York. And then there's like eight on Beverly Hills, if not nine. Right. Yeah. But
it's so true.
But I will say that I'm really careful with me and my life and on my show, I am really careful that even if someone shares something with me, like what most people would think is really benign, I have to think twice. Wait a minute. If I want to be a vault, if I want that person to trust me, then if I just talked to you and you just told me you were at Zara right before we were here, and then you, someone else tell, you know, like you heard that, like, oh yeah, Maris told me you were just at Zara right now. Then all of a sudden I'm like a gossip.
Right.
So then, you know, learning the hard way, I have to keep my mouth shut. Like if you were to ask me a question, like, where are you right now? I wouldn't say I'm in Queens. I would say I'm sitting on a bed. The sheet is right white. I'm in Howard Beach. There's a plane going above my head right now. I'm so extra about details. That's just who I am about myself. So then I can be that way toward everybody else. And that's what really gets you in trouble with your friend groups. So yes, I second that. Long story short, Ramona was not wrong for asking for privacy to finish a thought.
Absolutely. And so, you know, what's crazy about this friendship between Luann, Ramona, and Sonia is there's kind of a dark moment when they are on the bus driving to the oyster farm. And for whatever reason, Tom comes up again. Sonia is the one to bring it up. But I feel like Luann went unnecessarily low when she was saying all of those things to Sonia in front of everybody, and watching Ebony intervene, like, hold on, you are not lifting up your friend in this moment when she needs to be lifted. You know, why did Lou see red in that moment? It just seemed, I don't know, unnecessary.
He was never your guy. He was a for you, so let's not exaggerate.
But he was a bald friend.
You know, I'm tired of your bullshit, Sonia, okay? Just be happy for me once in a while. He was not your guy. He married me, okay? He wasn't your guy. He was never your guy. He f***ed you one night. That's all you
got. One night?
That's it. He didn't marry you.
Well, I was a damn fool.
I wanted to tell you, Sonia was dating Tom, period, paragraph.
Yeah.
Sonia had him first. Luann did steal her man and marry him, right? So, like,
yeah,
you know, that's why, that's the other thing. Luann is a little stubborn. I mean, there's certain things about people that you can never change, and she's never going to see it differently. And I think that Luann felt like a fool. I think Tom made Luann feel a fool for professing her loves, falling so deeply, thinking like, this is going to be the end of my life, the yacht, the Palm Beach, you know, West Palm Beach, Florida. And then it ended up crashing so quickly that she's just lashing out, you know, erroneously lashing out at Sonia, because Sonia's never heard a fly, right?
No.
So if you're going to lash out at somebody and you're going to choose Sonia, then you're choosing an easy target who's not going to do anything back.
Exactly. You know, and it reminded me almost of that moment. I forget which season it was, but it's when she's launching Tipsy Girl or whatever, and Bethany mm-hmm. confronts her and just mm-hmm. goes in on her. And Sonia gets so upset and emotional, and she's crying. And all you want to do is hug her in that moment. And that's all I ever want to do to Sonia. So
yes,
it did bring me back to that place of just like, why are you going so hard on her? Especially like Ebony's point, kicking her while she's down. It just doesn't seem like the right move to make in that moment. But
right,
like you said, Luann was coming into that moment feeling probably still kind of embarrassed about what happened with her and Dom.
And look at how many things that Sonia has tried to launch while she's been on TV, which is, you know, if you're on a TV show, everyone will ask you, what are you, you know, how are you using this platform to optimize, you know, profit?
Yeah.
What's going to be your business venture? So Sonia has been doing something. She didn't mean to do a cheater brand. She was just trying to launch something that a lot of people do. A lot of people launch a wine or a toaster or a fashion line, or, you know, I mean, that's really been Sonia doing her best to secure her future. And that's why she said, I mean, of course, that was a really bad moment when she freaked out over Wells Fargo, over Chase Morgan.
Right, yeah.
But she's like, I'm trying to secure my daughter's future. I mean, she's worried about her future. Sonia is worried about her future.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, Quincy is going to be fine.
Yes.
But, you know, as a mom, you're always going to worry, and you're going to worry about your own. I think that's where
yes.
Sonia's at right now. She's worried about more so her own future than her daughter. She's like, my daughter's set up. What do I have? I have right. this old house again, you know?
Yes.
So I get it.
Taking
get
a step
it.
Back. You don't want to go back into your townhouse, and there's so much deferred maintenance. Come on. It's hard.
I know. So they go to the oyster farm. They learn all about oysters. That's a whole thing. We know how Ramona feels about that. But I want to get into the party at Ramona's that Heather Thompson shows up for.
Oh my God.
Right. So
this was the best moment of the season.
Oh my God. So we got a Breakfast at Tiffany's themed party. It's classy. It's whatever. It shifts really quickly, which in some ways I don't blame Leah for being like, hold up. This girl's going to come into the house and start acting all sorts of fake when she's been talking shit about everybody around this table pretty much. So she goes right in and brings it up pretty quickly. But I don't you think Heather must have known this was going to come up when she got to the house?
You know, Heather is going to gain some viewership on her or listeners on her podcast, because I want to go back and find out really what was said. I felt for Heather because she was not winning that argument. Like if they were in court, the jury would favor Leah, because it's the way that Leah spoke everything. It was just very believable and convincing.
Yeah.
And when I heard Heather, she just sounded like she just didn't know what she's like, what's happening right now? I'm being attacked. I didn't expect this. I thought I'm going to walk into this season and breathe some fresh air into it. And then very quickly it was like, no, bitch, you got to be accountable for what you've been saying about us. I don't think that you should. This is another example of why your mouth will get you in trouble. You can't go and talk about somebody else's plastic surgery and then sit down with them at a dinner table and expect to get by.
Yeah, right.
If that's what she said, allegedly.
You said that Luann had done hard drugs when you guys were in St. Bart's. It was recent, no?
Oh, yeah. But that was, now I know what you're talking about. The article is actually, it doesn't say anything about that at all. It's like a headline. It was like a catchy headline.
No, but the article does say it.
It doesn't say Luann. You keep saying that I'm specifying Luann and I'm not
it
specifying
Luann.
Well, let me tell you what happened.
Me personally, I don't, if someone does drugs in front of me, I'm not saying it to anyone.
Me either. Or me either.
You just did.
Well, and that is the thing. We do know, yes, in media sometimes, they pull out the most sensational headline. They leave certain things out so that the context of a quote may not make sense, you know, or whatever. So maybe there was some of that. But I do remember in real time when those articles were published, when Carol was on her podcast and there was, you know, I think it was Page Six or the New York Post, I think they mentioned.
Yes.
That said all of those things. And I remember seeing that, but I don't know. It was just tough to see that conversation between Heather and Luann, where Heather was just like, oh yeah, I do feel that you're a little fake and, you know, nothing that we really talk about with you is authentic. Like, damn, you know, that's rough.
That was harsh. And I don't think that Luann is fake and inauthentic. I think she has an air about her personality. I think that she has that countess vibe that she, you know, might rub some people the wrong way, but it's not because she's not being real. She's real for her. She's just got, you know, she had a very, like, she has an air about her. Like, yeah. Leave her alone. Let her live.
I mean, from countess to cabaret star, she's not going to be the most humble person on the planet. Exactly. But that's exactly why we love her.
I mean, how many people can do what she's doing? And look at her body. Look at her career. I mean, she is like a phenomenal species. She's like a just she must have done something right in her previous lives because her karma is so good. She's bounced, like landed on her feet.
That's true.
And you know, Heather, I just think she could have been nicer, but I was so excited when I heard she came back. I don't know how many more episodes we're gonna see her in, because I did see headlines that she was, you know, did not continue to film.
Right. Yes. Yeah. There was some, I don't think she and Leah wrap up in a positive way, you know?
Right. But I thought it was really brilliant of Leah to do her research before she went to the dinner party. You know, she like looked up Heather. She read about what happened. She wanted to find out because she wasn't, you know, there the years that Heather was there. And it was a kind of a brilliant thing to do for that situation.
Any final thoughts on New York before we get into Jersey?
Love Ebony. She's such a beautiful girl. And
yeah,
you know, I think that I'm just excited because they're just doing a lot of really cool things on New York this season. So I'm here for it and, you know, excited for what's next.
Do you have any plans to see any of the New York ladies while you're here?
So I really do think I'm going to see Hannah and Paige. But they're, you know, just New Yorkers are not housewives. And so
right.
Who else might I see from? I'm not friends with any of the current New York housewives.
I will say, I think Kate Chastain lives here.
Is she here?
And she'd probably love to see you. I don't know if she's here at the moment.
Yeah, I think she's in Florida at the moment.
She might be back there, yeah.
But you know, Countess and I met through Marisol Patton from Miami Housewives.
Oh.
So like I've met her, I've hung out with her a bunch of times. We've done like a lot of things, but yeah, I mean, I'm going to make the most out of the week that I'm here.
Good. Good.
Yes. I'm excited.
Well, I guess also you could potentially see some of the Jersey ladies because they're just right over the river. So let's do Jersey Part 2 reunion because there's a lot to break down
here.
I'm so curious to hear your perspective on Louis. But first, what is your take on the Jen Margaret drama?
Okay. I am team Margaret Josephs forever because first of all, I'm the closest with her. I haven't met Jen Aiden yet, but I believe that if Margaret said that, that Jennifer would have brought it up right away. I don't think that she would have waited until the reunion because it's just not what we have come to learn about Jennifer. She would have blurted it out right away. And if Margaret didn't say what she said, like if that was true, you would have said it right then and there. That was my aha moment that I was like, oh, okay. I believe Margaret because I don't really think that she, I just don't think that's Margaret.
I know.
Marge is like the Sonia of her franchise.
Right.
You know, Marge hasn't really hurt anybody.
I know. It's so true. I mean, it's tough because I think in part one, I saw where Jen was coming from in a lot of her arguments. And I agreed with a lot of the things that she was saying. And then in this part of the reunion, I just didn't like the way she navigated the whole sloppy, drunk, slutty, making choices to do these things and being a little dismissive of Margaret's experience, which she's done multiple times.
Yes.
And I just don't like that angle. And I think Jen, in some ways, is stubborn and will hold on to those things and keep bringing them back up to try to make her point. But I just want the two of them to be able to move forward and just accept each other and stop shooting those daggers at each other all the time. It's been many seasons of that, you know? So hopefully they got it all out by the end of this reunion, right? It seemed like there was some resolution by the end.
Jennifer Aiden couldn't be more different from Margaret in that Jennifer is married. She, you know, came from an arranged marriage. She has all of this tradition. And then here you have Margaret who was out in the world working. She had a completely different kind of upbringing, a different kind of a mom. And it's wild that Jen thinks that sloppy is if you go and sleep with someone.
Right.
Everyone on that stage thinks that sloppy is like slurring your words, being messy in terms of like not behaving well. You don't have to sleep with someone. And if you do, like you cannot slut shame people anymore. This is not the era of like anything but sex positivity.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jennifer will hopefully learn something from this. Like maybe she'll play it back and she'll say, maybe that's not really like, where am I getting these definitions from? Certainly not life experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think the older that her daughters get, maybe the more she'll get an understanding of why she needs to approach this situation differently, because things could come up later on, like especially when her daughters, if they do see this moment and this fight between her and Margaret, they might start asking questions. They're at the age, at least her oldest daughter might start asking questions of like, well, why would you say that to Margaret, mom? And Jen's going to need to find a way to explain that to her kids.
I think Jen is going to learn a lot from her relationship with her daughters. And I think her oldest daughter is so smart and sensitive and really modern and modern thinking. And, you know, she actually did a great job with Jen and her brother coming out and explaining it to her grandmother.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I was in tears when I saw that conversation and them breaking barriers through, you know, two decades of you know, Jen's daughter broke this generational gap from her grandmother all the way down to modern day and helped her uncle. I mean, that was so advanced and amazing because when I was a kid, I didn't have the balls to say things that these kids are saying these days. And I'm so grateful. You know, they can live their best life sooner and not have to be repressed.
Yeah, 100%. Talking about sex positivity, do you think Teresa is lying about only sleeping with Joe and Louie in the last 20 years?
100%. It's not true.
I mean, come on. Like, no way. She was so horned up all season. You're not telling me that she wasn't getting laid somewhere or hasn't been laid since her ex.
You see, this is what happens when we think we have to be of like that old world culture. It's like, and I was a virgin until my wedding night.
Right.
And I've never seen dick before. people do this, like everyone thinks that, they, except for Leah. That's why I love when people are sex positive, because we have these exceptions, but then we have so many people that we are so old school and we have to pretend like we've never seen a guy before until we saw our husbands. And it's so not true. And no, I know Teresa has gotten it from more than Juicy Joe. Thank God. Right. Thank God.
It doesn't have to be that many, but I wish she had given us a little bit more. And we know that she has, I don't want to say mastered the art of lying, but when she played the prank on her brother when they were away at Lake George, oh, and that lie came so effortlessly to her.
Effortless. Seamless.
I was like, I don't know if she's telling the whole truth in this moment, but okay. So outside of that, the other part that was a red flag to me, because I've been talking about it since Louis was introduced on the show, or at least since Teresa had started to see Louis, that I have my reservations, right, about this new relationship. Teresa is a high profile person. Learning that Louis has watched the whole series, yeah, to me seemed like a red flag. What did that seem like to you as someone who is on reality television?
Let me ask you a question. Has Louis seen a lot of The Real Housewives of New Jersey?
He did. He watched
from
it
the beginning?
Yes.
No.
Swear to God.
Wow. You really got a window into your marriage with Joe Giudice.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to treat you like you've never been treated before.
It's definitely a risk. I think that Teresa is, you can see the happiness in her face. You can see like she's having orgasms. She's probably having multiples, yes, you know. I do get concerned. I feel like I see it in his eyes even before I found out that he watched the whole series from the beginning. I saw like a little bit of an opportunistic vibe in his face, like in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And then I would see Teresa's face and I'd see how happy she is. And I was like, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe this is just what the doctor ordered, you know, because when you break up with someone after how many years she was married to Joe, sometimes you just run in the opposite direction. And if he's showing her a good time, as long as she doesn't get married to him and she doesn't have to divide assets, like, I think she'll be okay. She's going to be fine. She's probably going to find out, you know, if he's the real deal or not, and just be grateful for the great sex that he's giving her, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, maybe we just let her get laid, enjoy this experience. I said to Megan over the last couple of weeks, especially what we learned in last week's episode, where, you know, Frankie is working for him now. They own.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, like they own an investment property together. I'm like, what? This is happening so quickly.
That was nuts that he's working for him. And can we take a moment and say he's the most beautiful man alive?
100%.
Okay. All right.
He's we're allowed to say it now because he's like well over age and it's fine.
Oh God, he is so gorgeous. If Shams grows up to be that gorgeous, I'll be like, okay, I'm done. My work on this planet is done.
I contributed to this world.
Yeah, he's so beautiful. God.
Gorgeous. Which of the New Jersey house husbands do you think Tommy would get along with the best?
All of them. I mean, honestly, like we've all grown. We love Bill now more than we knew him the first season.
Yeah.
But I think Tommy would have such a good time. I think he would fit in so well with Joe Gorga and Joe, Marge's Joe. And who else am I? Oh, of course, Frank. Hello. Of course, Frank. Because I love Dolores so much. And so like, I mean, that's why I think about it. Like if I were to go to a housewife and like actually become like, just like fantasy, like what happens if we cross over from Shaw's to a Bravo? I was like, I kind of feel like the Queens in me that married this Queens guy could f- with these, you know, Jersey girls.
I think so.
They're really cute. Yeah. They're really awesome.
Well, obviously this part of the reunion wraps with the whole Teresa, Jackie, Evan rumor from very early on in the season. I will say that I honestly expected Andy to ask Evan directly if he has cheated, because he had asked Teresa earlier on in this episode, right, if she had ever cheated on Joe, and that was pretty open. And mm-hmm. in this whole conversation, it has been so focused on it being a rumor, which I do believe that it was, but I almost expected there to be a moment where Andy was like, can we just completely clear the air here and ask Evan? Not that it's really Evan's responsibility to do that, but it would have really just kind of shut it all down. And then it would have just left room for Teresa and Jackie to be like, all right, well, we have no choice but to move on. And here we are. Right.
It's true. I mean, that's the moment that I was waiting for. When they had the do-over birthday.
Yeah.
Remember? So like they asked him throughout the season, like, is it true? And it's so hard because I didn't know if I believed it or not, like if he did or didn't. But I kept thinking, well, you know what? Teresa is getting back at Jackie for saying quacks like a duck, walks like a duck.
Right.
You know, like, I just think there's a big difference between bringing up husbands and bringing up children. So I'm going to go with, we'll never know.
Right.
I don't know what they did. I don't know if it's true. I just think that that marriage is not off limits on reality TV. So
yeah.
If the guys, do you know what I do think? I think that Marge's Joe definitely heard the rumor.
I do too.
So what are you going to, you know, what do we do with that information?
I mean, we just tuck it away in our pockets and we see what happens next season, I guess.
That's true. That's why we're probably going to find out more.
What does it feel like when a reunion finally wraps? Like the end of the day, it's so long filming, you're all glammed up, you guys are probably starving. What does it feel like when it's finally all over?
Well, it takes a lot to fall asleep. It's definitely, your adrenals are shot.
Yeah.
You know how people feel when they come off stage and you've just got that really high octane thing, but you're exhausted and you're drained, but you kind of can't just go home and be in a quiet room because it does take a couple of weeks to emotionally get over it. And it's a whole other tidal wave of pain.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the best advice I would have for anyone who was going to plan the day after reunion would be like, go to a spa for a week and plan a vacation so that you can literally switch hats and do something that's going to help you, because you need something after the reunion for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ashley, Darby and Michael, they always go on vacation when the season wraps. Like when they're done filming, they usually immediately go on vacation, or it might be right after they film reunion. They're usually like, let's get out of town. I mean, of course, the two of them have been topics of conversation in most of the last couple of seasons of the show. So they definitely need a vacay. But I can imagine you have to, after filming for so long and then doing the reunion, rehashing all of these issues that you've been going through, it must just be like, oh my God, how do I decompress from this? You know, it must take so much time.
Yeah, Ashley is really smart. And she and I had next door rooms at the last BravoCon. So,
oh my God.
Yes, we have talked to each other significantly in passing and on IG and stuff. And she's very cool and very educated. And I love her mind. I love her brain. And I think that they're really smart. You've got a plan for your après reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I will say Ashley is also a great guest co-host when she comes on. She always delivers. She is so much fun. She's such a huge Bravo fan. She watches everything.
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. I'm so excited to see her and her new baby journey this season.
Yes.
Just the best.
That when I saw her in the super tease, I thought, okay, I'm gonna learn about life by watching Potomac this season.
Right. Life in all aspects at all different stages.
Yep.
Okay, well, we always wrap up our episodes with a rose and a thorn, so I'll give you a second to think about it and I will share what my rose is for the week.
Oh, perfect.
I'm gonna give my rose to Kathy Hilton, specifically for giving three truths that she had literally just told everyone over the course of the last couple of days and completely messing up the two truths and a lie game. Like, it was just, she's so kooky and was cracking me up this whole episode. I'm so glad we have her on this season.
Okay, Kathy will go. Kathy, two truths and a lie.
I worked as a dental assistant. I worked as a hairdresser, cutting children's hair. And I worked as a receptionist at the Waldorf.
Wait, I think those are all truths.
I did too.
I do dental work.
Do you?
How many lives does that have?
Freelancer, just.
Wait, so Kyle, random. Tell the story, please.
I'm a hairdresser.
And I worked in hospitality at the Waldorf.
You did?
Oh my God. Those are all truths.
Oh my God. I know. I love that Kathy and Kyle are close again. I think that's clearly like a really big part of their joy in their lives. My rose is going to be, it's going to be for Crystal and the Beverly Hills season altogether, because there's just something that happens chemically when I am watching these girls interacting, because I can feel the change for the better. And from the fashion looks to like the deep conversations for these women, like I'm just going to give it to them. Like it's exciting for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think this season has started off very strong, and I'm so excited to go on this journey that we're going to go on.
And the fashion, and just there's so many of them. It's so exciting.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, I'll give you my thorn. It is from Married to Medicine, and it's Dr. Heavenly just popping off on Lisa Nicole at Anila's daughter's party. It's just like, sometimes you just can't take Heavenly anywhere. You know, she just, she cracks me up, but it takes just 1 second for her to just curse somebody out and just say horrible things. And at a kid's birthday party, it's just like, not the time and the place, Heavenly, you know, save it for Quad's house or something.
Right. Well, so Dr. Heavenly is like, I feel like I kind of give her a pass too, because when she acts out, remember, I mean, she's been through a lot, and I don't know, she just gets away with things with me as well, because I'm like kind of excited when she says things, but you're right, that was totally inappropriate. My thorn, I'm going to give it to my show, but I have to pick my moment. I guess my thorn right now is the uncertainty in Mike and Paulina's relationship. It's a painful topic. We're going to go through it, and, you know, I could like have mustard on my, like, you know, like I could, when you see me appear on Shaw's, I'm always like, there's always something wrong with me. Like either I didn't tie my shoe or my hair or my extensions or whatever. It's just something's wrong with me. But like the anxiety that I watch knowing that I'm going to be seeing such a huge season. I mean, there's so many great things about it, but I'm nervous, like nervous, I'm excited about some things, but I'm just going to say fingers crossed that we all make it through.
I can't imagine you are more nervous this season than you were last.
I am.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
We're moving forward. My husband is happier. You know, he's got his gratitude bell.
Yeah.
So it's just, life is such a beautiful roller coaster. We'll see where it takes us next.
That's amazing. Well, it's a perfect way to wrap up. Thank you, MJ, so much for joining us again today. Tell Tommy we said hi. Enjoy your time in Queens. Give kisses to Baby Shams.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun. I cannot wait until Megan's out of town so that I can co-host with you again. Or
I know. Yeah, for sure. Well, listen, we'll probably have you back by the end of this season around, you know, finale reunion time. Could be good to check in, because then we'll have a lot more to talk about and I'll know a lot more of what you're nervous about.
I cannot wait. I'm going to set my gratitude alarm so that I'll make sure that I'm back.
Yes, please. Thanks, MJ. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you too. Bye. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.